listening to the Actionable Marketing Podcast, powered by CoSchedule, the only way to organize your marketing in one place, helping marketers stay focused, deliver projects on time, and keep their entire marketing team happy.
Marketers often have a lot of questions about how social media can influence SEO. And there are a lot of varying viewpoints on this, as well as a lot of outright misinformation that manages to get circulated around out there on this topic as well, which can really make it difficult for those interested in learning more about this area to actually find definitive answers that they can trust. So that's why I'm really excited on this week's show to have PR and SEO expert Dmitry Dragilev, who runs a consultancy called Criminally Prolific, to explain to us in clear and certain terms how social media does and does not influence organic search performance for content. And it's really important that we understand both how it does and how it doesn't make an impact there. You know, ask him anything on this topic, and he will give you a very thorough and nuanced and yet very clear answer based on what Google has said themselves, what he's seen work around the industry, and what has worked for himself and for his own clients. So if you've ever had any questions on how to leverage social media to drive short and long-term SEO gains, or if you're just curious about how to really amplify your content the best way through these channels, then you'll want to stick around for this conversation. And with that, here's Dmitry. Hey, Dmitry, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm not bad. Not bad. I really can't complain too much. You know, life is kind of slowly starting to look like it's going back to normal. Hopefully, yes. Fingers crossed. So, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Same here, man. The sun is shining. It's warm. I'm in New Hampshire. I had a good workout this morning, so good mood. So things are doing well.
Yeah. Well, that's what we like to hear. So what we're going to be talking about is social media and SEO and how those two worlds do and do not intersect. As we were chatting a little bit, just a little while ago, just kind of about how these two concepts are, there's a lot of people have a lot of questions about how these two things work together, and it's not necessarily super clear to to a lot of folks. So at a real high level, to open things up, how are social media and SEO interrelated, if at all? Like what are the connections there that do exist?
So I will come out and say that social signals are not used by Google for ranking purposes. And I think that's really important to remember if you're trying to think about that or trying to rank, that Google will not use those social signals to rank you. And Matt Cutts has a great video. If you ever Google anything around it, you'll see there's a question from somebody and he directly addresses this one thing. And there's really the reason, he breaks down the reason why Google cannot just trust social, right, to do this. There's the volume. There's just too much information to cope with this infrastructure, with the current infrastructure that they have. Just the timing, social media content doesn't last all the time. Like there's fake followers, there's paid engagement, there's, I don't know, there's mapping relationships between social media profiles. Say like, you know, it's just one person used to be this, now they're that. And Google Plus was their answer. That was the answer where Google was trying to say, all right, have a social media profile and get that to inform our ranking behavior. Google Plus is no longer around. So we cannot right now say that, you know, it uses that. But what we can say is it does it indirectly. So your brand reputation, your brand recognition, and getting that out there via social media does indirectly impact your rankings. There's lots of correlation in these studies, and there's many experiments, and I can share a few that I've done on my own, where you get the social media going to get the brand reputation out there. You look at the number of searches for your brand go up, and then eventually the links start coming in, people start to recognize your content and promote it. And that's how you should be thinking about it. You should be thinking about, hey, I want to promote things on social media so that people recognize my brand, so that they read my articles, consume it, eventually link to them, promote them in their own channels. And in turn, I get, you know, ranks, but a boost in ranking. So it's kind of a long answer, but hopefully kind of clarifies a few things.
Yeah, no, I think it's really necessary to kind of give that question a very nuanced response, right? Because there's a lot of confusion in that area, I think. And there could potentially be, you know, some fairly significant, you know, consequences for a marketing team if they were doing all this stuff, thinking that all this just pure activity on social was what they needed for SEO somehow. And it's a lot more complicated than that, obviously. So, you know, one other question I have, though, kind of related there. How does Google treat social networks when it comes to indexing and surfacing content from social networks? So, for example, for certain queries, you might see tweets like show up, like a pack of tweets on a given topic, usually with something news related or something trending that you can kind of scroll through. Is there anything kind of in that area that maybe people should be aware of? Like if you were creating social content, your goal was to get the content on that social network into Google somehow. Is it worth really thinking about that too hard? Or
I think of it from the assets point of view, such as diagrams, maybe tables, maybe visuals of like a study or something like that. And think about Instagram, Pinterest, those assets which are going to be linked to from many different pages, many different sites, and used in all these different posts. That's where I think the goldmine really lies, with sharing information on social that people can use in all sorts of different avenues, like presentations and blog posts. There is that Matthew Woodward post where the post was shared like 31,000 times. It generated 68,000 likes, 34,000 comments, and as a result, went up to rank number one. I think it was Unhealthiest Foods. And in that post, I think it really does a great job of like breaking down kind of what the unhealthiest foods were, the nice little diagram kind of thing. And it earned a ton of backlinks to it, right? But the sharing was happening all on social media. So this is exactly what we were just talking about, right? The sharing happens on social media, but then people find that asset. They're like, oh, this is great. I'll link to it. Brian D, who you've had on the show, who's a good friend of mine, he writes about SEO. A few months ago, or beginning of this year, he wrote an article about the best, most top users on Clubhouse. And why did he put together a diagram of that? Well, because if you take that diagram, you just purely share it on social media, there's going to be a lot of people, reporters, journalists, bloggers, who are going to say, this is a pretty good diagram. I'm going to use it in my next post. I'm going to use that asset in my next post. And that diagram belongs to Backlinko. It's sitting on Backlinko's blog. So I need to attribute that Backlinko diagram. And so, you know, he's gotten, and we did a Clubhouse thing with him, and we were just hanging out too. And he was telling me he's gotten links from The Guardian, New York Times, like these places that would never link to an SEO blog. But, you know, so you can see like how it indirectly impacts SEO. Now, Google does index, I feel, these types of asset type of tweets around something that is related to the query or something that's news related to the search term. It's just, there's just so much information out there for them to crawl through, and the volume is too great for the content, for the current infrastructure for them to index everything. But that's how I would think as a marketer, content marketer, who's trying to get eyeballs on their brand, creating assets like that and sharing them in social media and in the blog post really helps, you know, just, it's like taking a whole article, condensing it into like one little asset that's like very detailed, and then just pushing it on social, and that's your blog post basically, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Super, super smart. And again, I appreciate your giving a very thorough and very nuanced answer to that question, because, you know, once again, anytime you start bringing up social media and SEO together, there's just so much ambiguity out there in people's minds. So I really feel like it's necessary to, you know, kind of go deep on some of these responses. So You had mentioned several examples, you know, from different you know, prominent folks in the industry, where you were able to see, you know, a direct correlation between a popular piece of content going viral, and then that viral exposure then leading to journalists and bloggers and other content creators to then link to that content in their own. Can you describe any specific instances where you were able to do this yourself, where you were able to, you know, kind of drive that? I hate to use the word synergy because I feel like it's such an overused business term, but I feel like this is an appropriate use of that word. Could you describe, and just describe a time where you've done this yourself.
So I do this for a living. You know, yep. SEO is what I've been doing most of my life. And quite recently, I can give you like a real life example. This is only like a month. So far, it's been only a month that we've been doing this. But there is a company called Storia, and we'll link it up. But it's an awesome way to run ads for an e-commerce store. And they are friends of mine. And so they were writing an article on, it's called Alternatives to WordStream. And WordStream is another, you know, another solution in the space. And so what we quickly did is we created the article. It still has no social, there's no links at all. It's a brand new article, Alternative to WordStream. And above us, we had bigger competitors that had been around there for a while. And because it's a new article, it's only maybe 5 days out there. They started, we did a combination of a number of things. We did a newsletter, we did sharing on social, and we did some ads that are like a Facebook boost type of ads where you just boost the article a little bit. And the idea was very simple. Without any links pointing to it, can we get it to the top of, I don't know, top 10 results on the top page of Google, the first page of the first search, just to see if it's going to pop to it, because it's a brand new post and there's no links or anything promoting it. And the idea is, again, what we were talking about earlier, can we get people to share it enough that other people will find it and link to it and so forth. And so right now it's sitting at number four, which is kind of interesting to see. We just got our first link to it, but it's kind of interesting that, you know, without any links to it, a brand new article gets to position four with just brand kind of like recognition and people sharing it, visiting it, viewing it, and just a handful of links within like 5 days. I'm anticipating, you know, this thing dropping a little bit because Google is probably trying to measure, you know, a whole, just, you know, the impact of that content compared to its competitors. But it's a very slow, tiny type of a test, just to see how well this kind of works. And it sometimes muddies the waters in the sense that you start to think that, hey, maybe running ads on it and doing promotion on social should be the only way I do this. And yet again, I always say, like, come back to the very top of the episode. You know, we know that these signals do not make it rank. We just know that it boosts brand reputation in the sense where people will eventually find you and link to an asset within that article. So we do have a little table there that describes how Storia is compared to the rest. Another example that I've seen where it has helped was Nextiva. We have a couple of pages that, you know, they've done well, where they have a large small business, you know, audience. So people that there's, I think it's over 100,000 people that are on their email newsletter, and a lot of people sort of follow them on social. And from a building brand standpoint and getting an article to rank, they've been so well with, they have a specific one called Most Reliable VoIP. They've done super well with that one, business phone system, and some others that they just rank really well. And again, it's promotion on social and newsletters that drives sort of like the reputation on it. The most famous one in this, the whole kind of space, was that one on inspire.com, which was on healthiest foods, one that I mentioned earlier. Matthew Woodward wrote about it. But that one, it's an article that just went viral and it got, you know, tons of the 68,000 likes or whatever, and then eventually earned a ton of links to their assets in the article. Google will always keep quality content at the top of the search result. And so, you know, it's just, it really comes down to quality content, I feel like, with these things. There's no like shortcut, or you shouldn't be trying to just game it in some way or try to repeat what somebody's done. It's the name of the game should be spending time and money to create quality, engaging content. And I think that is worth every penny, you know. Whether it works well on social media or organically, it should be probably both, you know.
It really cannot be stressed enough how much all of this comes down to relationships and building trust with people and creating high quality content that is differentiated and that people just naturally want to talk about and share and link to. That's really what's at the core of this conversation when it comes down to it. It's not hacks, it's not trickery, it's not some sort of magic that's going to get people to share your content and to build those links and to get the results that you want. It's all about providing value and providing more value than anyone else that really gets rewarded. Now, back to Dimitri. But if I'm a marketer listening to this conversation and I'm interested in using social to amplify my content with some of these like long-term, you know, like SEO, you know, goals, how would you recommend I get started? Like, let's say I've got one topic I want to create some content on, or maybe I have like one article I've written. How would you recommend I start using the social side of things to build that amplification and build that recognition for that content? With the kind of that long-term goal of wanting this thing to rank and then leaning on organic search to really drive the long-term benefits.
So I think as a marketer, you need relationships with people and you need to help people bring value to people at first. So reciprocity will happen. They will help you, but you need to always offer value upfront for people out there. Whether you're trying to promote stuff on social media or you're trying to rank in or partnerships, whatever you want to do, you offer value upfront. So I always say, reach out to big brands and ask them, how can you best promote them? Meaning, right now, I'm writing an article on best CRM software. Guess what? I emailed Arena at HubSpot and I said, hey, I'm going to rank number one for best CRM and I want to promote the heck out of you. Which page should I link to? And so I know that it's going to take me a while to do that, but I'm going to offer that value. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to just do it. And I'm going to just tell her I'm going to do it. Just by saying that you're going to do something and helping them some way adds value to them. I could also go on Just Reach Out or something and find a reporter who needs something, a question like, hey, they need a best marketing tip for 2021. I'm going to email, you know, someone else like Andrew Warner, or I might email another big name like BigCommerce and Nigel over there, and that might say, hey, I have an opportunity for you to answer this question, and you might potentially get a feature in a roundup that they're doing over at Small Business Trends. Are you at all interested in doing that? And just connecting people that way, helping them up front for a little bit, helps you build those relationships. You should be doing that in social media and outside of social media to boost your rankings, right? Because what's going to happen next? They're going to say, thank you. How can I, you know, help you out eventually? And that's where you might have them promote your articles on social or link to your articles and so forth. So I have a course, the PR to Converse course, where I kind of delve into relationship building, but it's exactly what I'm just talking about now. It's finding that person and then offering them value up front, saying, hey, I have a blog. I see that you guys are ranking number five for whatever that term is that they're ranking number five for. I'd like to make you rank number one for it. Can I link to this page, or should I link to another page on your site? Or should I promote this page on my social profile? I have 15,000 followers on my social media profile. My company has 50,000 followers, and maybe I can ask them to promote it. Is this the right page to do that on, or is this not? And quite often, you know, hitting people up on LinkedIn or Twitter is actually an easier way than email these days. So saying, hey, I'm going to promote you. I want you to get value out of this. I'm not asking for anything up front. What should I do? What are the topics you want promoted? What are the pages you want promoted? It's a perfect way to be using, you know, social media and relationship building to get contacts lined up, to get partners lined up. And you want people that you kind of trust and work with, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Or really, the importance of building relationships cannot be stressed enough. Yeah, I think sometimes we kind of forget, you know, who is on social media? It's people, you know, like, so yeah, I think that's I think that's great advice. So once a marketer is kind of established, you know, the basics of relationship building and you know, just approaching things from a standpoint of trying to offer value first, you know, and just always, you know, providing value, you know, through your outreach and through your content. Are there any more advanced tips or tactics that you would recommend implementing in this area?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, relationship building is just phase one. It's where you start. Eventually, I think for you to rank, there's two things that you need to have. You need to have epic content and you need to have links and traffic that's coming to your page, to your blog post. And links and traffic is where most people kind of start to wonder what to do. Epic content, a lot of times people think they have epic content and it really is not. And, you know, the first thing you would usually do is you look at what is wrong with content on Google right now. Why do I deserve to rank number one? And then you address the weakness, the problem, and you build your piece of content as a product. After you launch it, you put it out there. The first thing that you probably need to do is you need to get some traffic flowing to it to let Google see time on site, user interaction, user experience, how fast it loads, all that info and collect it. And you yourself need to look through that, those markers as well. You want very fast loading site, use Google Page Insights, those types of tools. But once you have some traffic flowing to it, whether it's through email newsletter, which we talked a lot about already, whether it's through social media, whether it's through ads, whatever it is, it's just some traffic that you're pushing towards. It's a brand new piece of content. You sent it out to your subscribers. You got some clicks on it. You got social media. You did some ads on it or whatever. You got some traffic coming to it. Now it's time to get those links, right? So people who have engaged with your content, people who have retweeted your content, for example, people who have shared it on Facebook or amplified it, those are the people you might grab onto and say, hey, I saw that you know, retweeted it. What particularly did you like about it? I see that, you know, you guys need help with this page. Can I help you with that? You're going to want to get 3-4 links pointing to your page because that page will need to gain those links. How you do that, there's 1,000 ways to probably do that, right? There's a whole Bible that Ahrefs, those guys are really good friends of mine. Tim, a student of the course, actually left an awesome testimonial for my PR that Converts course. But he published a great, 1,000+ ways to build links. There's no one way to build links to your piece of content, but I would say those people who have amplified your content and reshared it might be your first target to hit up on LinkedIn or Twitter and see how you can help them in return, asking them to help you. 3-4 links on a piece of content should lead you to second page of Google, depends on the term, right? But, you know, you might be ranking 15, 16, maybe 12 even, you know? And so to jump to first page of Google, you need to bring some serious kind of links and traffic and sort of amplification on that post. So this is where Epic Content again comes back, right? Google likes to see you update posts. It doesn't like to see volume of posts. So you need to put new stuff in there, maybe put more examples, maybe put a video inside there, something that makes it pop and it makes it 10 times better than what's already out there on the first page of Google. You're trying to outperform them, not by they have 100 tools or 10-minute workout and you're doing a 100-minute workout. You're doing more quality. So that's your basic roadmap, I think, is to rank. Building those relationships, then quickly sharing stuff and grabbing on to more relationships, getting 4 or 5 backlinks, popping to top of page 2, then revising it, getting, you know, another 4 or 5 links until you're mid on first page of Google. And, you know, there's many different ways to be building links, and we can talk about that too.
Yeah, certainly. Well, this is great stuff. And I think that's probably a good place to call it and to kind of put a cap on just the scope of this conversation. I would certainly love to discuss link building with you, though, maybe off the air. So I'm sure you've got, you know, just a ton of great insight in that area as well, no doubt. So
I do. I've been doing this for way too long, and it actually has changed so much, you know.
Yeah.
My one thing to people who are listening to this, like whoever is still listening, is just make sure that you can open up whatever you're doing to Google and go and meet with Matt Cutts and just tell them what you're doing. If you can say that and you're doing that, then great. But if you're kind of like, I don't know if like I'd be comfortable openly telling everybody what I do for my link building, chances are you probably shouldn't be doing it. So think about it that way. Usually that's a good marker, you know?
I think that's really, really great advice. You know, if you wouldn't do this out in the open and public, maybe you should stop.
Exactly. It's kind of funny how we just hide behind an email or hide behind like a social media message as if it's not us or something. We can put stuff in an email that we'd never say out loud, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I see it every day.
It's just so weird. Gaetano, who I introduced you to, he actually went up to people in the mall reading out emails, cold emails to people saying, hey, buddy, like, do you want to do a partnership together, like a content collab where I can kind of link to you, you link to me, and help each other out? People, it was like the video went viral, actually, but it was just so good that it was random people in the mall he was walking up to. It's like, hey, let's do a sales collab. What's your calendar looking like for the next week? You know, what's the calendar link? Can you give me a calendar link? It's just like, it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna look that up because that really hits at something I've thought about a lot, is just like how weird so much canned outreach actually sounds when you say it out loud. Like, hey, do you want to collaborate, like in air quotes, where like we just have a completely like transactional exchange of links on our websites, and that's collaboration now. Like, because when you say that to a normal person, they're like, wow, that sounds stupid, dude, like, you know, like or weird. So
yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so when I end up bringing him on the show, I think I know what we'll be talking about.
Oh yeah, that video got over 100,000 like comments in LinkedIn. And it's a funny video. He uploaded it directly to LinkedIn, but I think there's a version on YouTube somewhere where it's just like hanging out. I might find it and share it with you, but it's so funny.
If you could track it down and send it my way, I would really appreciate it, because I really want to watch this video. But you know, before we get too sidetracked at the end here, if people are interested in learning more about this topic, or if they're potentially just interested in finding where you're at on the web, where should they go looking for you?
It's criminallyprolific.com. That's my main site. That's my blog. And you can find all the links from there, my coaching program and my software and all that stuff. But yeah, criminallyprolific.com.
Very cool. Well, Dimitri, thanks so much for your time. This is a really insightful conversation. And yeah, you know, I'm sure this is going to answer a lot of questions for a lot of people, that even like questions they might not have known that they had. So
awesome. I'm glad. And if anybody has more questions, happy to chat about this. I feel like every time I talk to somebody, that's like, it's always this, people are asking about this. And I'm like, no, it doesn't actually impact rankings, but in turn, indirectly it does, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Which is, you know, it's more nuanced than, you know, what I think this topic, you know, than how it gets, treated sometimes. So, all right. Well, you know, I think I've taken plenty of your time here, but, you know, thanks again, for coming on the show, and, I'll be, on the lookout for that video.
Awesome. Well, too.
Thanks again so much to Dimitri for coming on the show and sharing his insight with us all on a topic that I think has maybe been a little bit murky, you know, for a number of folks out there. So this is great stuff, and you know, I really appreciated him taking the time to come on our show. And that's all we've got for this week. But until next time, best of luck with your marketing.
You've been listening to the Actionable Marketing Podcast from your friends at CoSchedule. For more actionable content, visit coschedule.com.